Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths, where we simply go through the Bible day by day and talk about what it means. But then beyond that, how can we make application of the Word of God to our life? You know, we live every day and we need truth every day. I view the Bible as food. And by the way, that's an illustration that God uses. Yes. It's like meat. It's like milk. And we need food every single day or we're not going to make it. And we need the Bible every single day or we're not going to make it. So I'm here with Dr. Sisk again. He's been gracious enough to give us some time during these days that he's spending with us in Virginia. And this will be our last episode together. So Dr. Sisk, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to help us with this.
It is always a joy to be with you, Brother Skelly. I forget exactly when we met. I think we met on a golf course the first time.
We did. We met at the Esmeralda Resort in Palm Springs.
Exactly.
It was a pastor's get together, and you and Jerry Furso, and I, and there was one other person, were put in the same foursome.
Okay.
And we met at that golf course. We sure did.
Yeah, and we played golf yesterday, so it's not all bad.
It's not all bad. That's right. We're in Acts chapter 11 today. Peter has gone to Cornelius's house. God did that. God did it supernaturally on Cornelius's side in providing that vision. And then he did it supernaturally on Peter's side. I mean, the fact is God put them together. And it was more than just a family being saved, a man being saved. It was the Gentile world being introduced to the gospel. It really is the last part of Acts 1:8. So in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Well, that happened in chapter 2. In Judea, well, that happened in chapters 3 through 7. And then in Samaria, that happened in chapter 8, and then unto the uttermost part of the world. So now we have this Cornelius, a Roman centurion. So now the gospel is going to the Gentile world. It's an amazing mushrooming of the gospel.
And then you often wonder if the people that left Jerusalem because of the persecution, and they went down to Antioch, and they began to preach the gospel to the Grecians. Okay.
Right.
Again, Gentiles. Okay. And a good number of Gentiles got saved. And again, the church said, hey, wait a minute, we better check this thing out. Okay.
Yeah.
They were suspicious about what Peter had done. And so they sent Barnabas down there. And man, he got sent back a great report. Man, this is great. God's doing a great work and so forth. So actually, Peter preaching to a Gentile really opened the door to the Gentiles. It took the Jews a long time to realize.
And you mentioned, I think, last episode that it's ironic that God would use the apostle to the Jews to reach the Gentiles. But boy, you see the plan of God. Because if it were somebody that was bent to go to Gentiles that reached the Gentiles, then the Jews could reject that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the most prejudiced guy among them, the most rabidly Jewish guy among them was the one whom God used.
Yeah.
Boy, there's no way to argue around that.
No, I know it's really different. But, of course, I went to Japan basically to preach the gospel to Japanese people. But in 1968, Bob Elsey went to Okinawa and started a military church down there. And I began to go down there and preach revival meetings and mission conferences and so forth. And as a result, just about every month, I'll meet somebody that I ministered to in the service. That wasn't my main job, okay? My main job was to preach the gospel to the Japanese people. But I had a great opportunity to preach to so many servicemen and so forth while there.
And so, I have, and just You know, just in my relatively short experience, I've met so many people that went through the ministry in Okinawa, Japan.
Oh, yeah. There's over, it's an amazing church. There's over 500 full-time Christian workers that either got saved or got discipled there at Maranatha Baptist Church in Okinawa.
Two of our most faithful families right now in our church, two of our most faithful families right now are from that church.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
The other day. Great, yeah.
Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. If you have your Bible, my friends, and I would encourage you to have a Bible in front of you that you can follow along, unless, of course, you're driving. Then keep your eye on the road. look at verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So, boy, it didn't take long for the news to travel. And remember, those that were there that day were astonished. They're happy. They're joyful. But that joy is not shared by the people in Jerusalem. They're kind of upset. You know, what is Peter doing eating with the Gentile? They couldn't see the effect of the gospel. All they could see was the abrogation of their man-made standard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's amazing what becomes a priority in people's mind. They're more upset that Peter, what are you doing eating with Gentiles, than they were about hearing that Gentiles got saved.
Yeah.
Look at verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, remember, my friends, whenever you go to Jerusalem, the Bible always talks about going up. And that doesn't mean that it's geographical, like northeast, southwest. That means it's elevational. So Jerusalem is up high. So anytime you go to Jerusalem, you go up. So the Bible says Peter was come up to Jerusalem, that there were of the circumcision, that they contended with him.
Yeah.
They argue with him. And watch what their argument is in verse 3. They said, thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. So that was their argument. What were you thinking, associating with those people and eating with them? Don't you know that we've got some standards against that stuff?
But they must have forgotten that Jesus took time with the Samaritan woman.
Yeah. And that Jesus was accused of the religious crowd of eating with publicans and sinners.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I, my friends, might not see this the same way and might really look at it and say, what is their problem? But understand that these were deep set prejudices. You know, they had never done this. The Jews had never eaten with a Gentile. They were taught by the time they were little boys and girls that would be unclean. You would be defiling yourself to do that.
Yeah.
So we have to be a little bit sensitive to what their mindset was. And then also understand that when you would eat with somebody in the Bible, that was tantamount to acceptance. So to eat with somebody means I accept you, I receive you. It was much more than just sharing some food together.
Sure.
So verse 4, after they put forward that argument to Peter, how did Peter respond? Peter didn't respond theologically. Peter didn't respond angrily. Peter simply relayed to them what God had done for him.
Sure.
And I wonder, Dr. Sisk, if that might not be a better way for us to deal with people that have a question about, you know, our theology or a question about our acceptance of Christ. He simply told what God had done.
Sure.
He didn't get into an argument, but he simply said, hey, here's what God did in my life.
Yeah, it's just like when the blind man is, who healed you? You know, was he really able to heal? You know, what in the mind of blind man, I don't know any of that. All I know is I was blind. Now I can see.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't know if Jesus was a good man or a bad man. All I know is I was blind. Now I can see.
Yeah, he rehearsed what had happened.
Yeah.
I think about the woman at the well. she went back to Samaria. She didn't preach a homiletical message complete with theological references. She simply said to the people of Sychar, she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. This has got to be the Messiah.
That got a lot of men excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about the maniac of Gadara. You go home to thy friends and show them what great things the Lord hath done for thee.
Wonderful.
And hath had compassion on thee.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not your job to get into a theological debate. And I'm not downplaying theology, my friends. But much more effective is what has God done in your life?
Sure.
So what does Peter say in verse 4? Peter rehearsed. To rehearse something means you're going back over. It's not hard to rehearse something if it really happened. Yeah. So Peter is just telling what happened in his life. That's what witnesses do. So Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying. And what you're going to find in verses 5 and following, let me just read it real quickly. I was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance, I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet. It let down from heaven, and by four corners it came even unto me, upon the which when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered. I saw 4 foot of beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. I heard a voice say unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. I said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done 3 times. All that were drawn up again, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there was 3 men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. He showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose name is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? What was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. He convinced them, by an argument.
Yeah, the church at Jerusalem, they were very skeptical of a lot of things. But once they saw what God had done, it's just like when Paul and Silas went back and they had that debate, do the new believers, do they have to be circumcised?
Right.
In other words, do they have to become Jews? And once they heard Paul's testimony and what God had done, they accepted it and so forth. So even though we might have some prejudices and so forth, and once we see what God is doing, we'll be willing to say, okay, I was wrong.
You know, right. God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, is that when they were confronted with the evidence, this was clearly something God did. And the story that Peter tells is full of evidence, okay? It's the evidence of, hey, God sent the vision. It's the evidence of these 6 Jews went with me. Don't take my word for it. This wasn't some kind of a temporary insanity thing that I happened. These guys saw it too, and they spoke in tongues. So there was the sign. So God was providing all of these evidences to demonstrate that this really happened. And I love what you said, Dr. Sisk. And then when they were convinced of it, they accepted it.
Sure.
They accepted it.
Yeah. And I love the situation where Paul and Silas went up and they debated and so forth. They discussed the thing and so forth. But when it was all over, they said, okay, you know, you're right. God is working with you. And we accept it. So.
And what's interesting is these Jerusalem church members, And people like Peter and John and Philip and Stephen and others that were used of God to preach the gospel. You know, Jerusalem ended up going through a couple huge economic downturns.
Yeah.
There was a famine, and then later on, there was a grievous famine. And what's interesting is the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, took it upon himself to raise money all around the world from Gentiles to help these people back in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And that's the wondrous miracle of the gospel, that it brings people that were at enmity with God and at enmity with each other together. The gospel is the greatest unifier in the history of the world.
Now, you've been to many countries, you've experienced this, okay? You cannot even speak the same language. You don't have any idea what they're saying when they speak. But when you get among Christian people, all of a sudden you realize, hey, we're one.
Yes.
I can't speak their language. They can't speak my language. But the Holy Spirit of God just binds people together like that. I've had that experience so many times.
Amen. Amen. And I hope that that is your experience. There might be somebody in your life right now that you don't think could ever get saved, or somebody in your experience that you would think, well, I would doubt that their profession is real. Hey, listen, God is in the saving business. He did it for you. He can do it for others. And what a great example of that we find in Acts chapter 11. We'll pick up here on next episode. Appreciate you tuning in. Hope you have a great day. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.